Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing. Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place in you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you'll see me through. Pray for me. Late nights coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch.
Shall continually be in my mouth. Good morning. This is Blog Talk Radio, and today is October the 9th, 2021. And this is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, and we honor Dr. Reverend Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. And we have a spirit-filled lesson on today, so we're going to get right into it. We have some announcements. Amazing Grace Ministries are ministering to the hurt and wounded every fourth Sunday at Christ Deliverance Center, located at 8226 South Muskegon Avenue at 2:30 p.m. And we're still conducting Old Testament survey classes every Thursday night via Zoom. Please email Dr. Carey at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital AMAZINGRACEMINISTRIES@gmail.com to register for Old Testament survey classes, and or if you want more information about the fourth Sunday services, contact Dr. Maria Carey at 309-507-7584. Dr. Carey will be speaking a word at the Word of Truth Pentecostal on tomorrow, Sunday, October the 10th at 11 a.m. And the address is 415 West 111th Street. Come on out and support her if you are available. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministry, Inc., and you can send a donation to P.O. Box 438411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. And to those that have sent a donation, we thank you for undergirding this ministry, and your donations are much appreciated. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you. If you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. You can text at 309-750-7584, or you can email amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A, AmazingGraceMinistries@gmail.com. And we're on the air at 9 o'clock every Saturday morning. We have an exciting lesson. Tune in. There is a link that you can click on. It's http://tobtarver.com/s/12009941. And it will take you straight to the lesson. In the month of October, we are transitioning from summer to fall, then eventually to winter. It's time to make an appraising of our assets to make sure that we are ready for the winter. Our cars and homes have to be winterized. We have to pull out the winter coats and boots to make sure that the moths have not eaten up our coats. So there is a reappraisal of things in our homes and in our bodies to survive the winter. For our bodies, making sure that we have the right vitamins and vaccinations to guard ourselves against the coldness of the winter. For example, a flu or pneumonia vaccination, or stocking up on plenty of vitamin C. Therefore, on this morning, we have a word that will captivate your mind. This word will illuminate your heart to bring you to a greater understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will take you on a journey to a great peace, to greater hope, and closer to Jesus as we prepare for the upcoming winter season. We're going to explore what it means to transition and prepare for winter. Sit back, take notes, let's go. The theme for this month is reaping the harvest. The lesson for this second Saturday in the month of October is reappraising the values of my assets to anticipate a return. Our text is coming from 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7, and this is the King James Version. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels was full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest." Definition, when you say appraised or appraising, that is to estimate the monetary value of, to determine the worth of assets, to estimate the nature, quality, or the importance of. When you say reappraise or reappraising. Reappraising is the present participle. Appraise or assess something again or in a different way. Some synonyms are to rethink, review, revise, reexamine, reevaluate, reassess, to think better of, to think over, take another look at, relook at, look at in a different light, have another thought about it, change, alter, modify, relook, think again, think twice, have second thoughts, reviews one's position, come around, change one's mind. Value, relative worth, merit, or importance, the worth of something and of a number of other things for which it can be exchanged or in terms of some medium of exchange. To evaluate worth or return in money, material, or services. When you say asset, a useful and desirable thing or quality, a single item of ownership having exchange value. When you say assets, items of ownership convertible into cash, total resources of a person or business as cash, notes and accounts receivables, securities, inventories, goodwill, fixtures, machinery or real estate opposed to liabilities. Your is a pronoun, a form of a possessive case of you, used as an attributive adjective. One used to indicate that one belongs to oneself or any person. Some history on the lesson. The books of Kings seem to have been written as one book, convenience of the Greek readers. The book is divided into two divisions, and the author appears to be unknown. The book of 1 and 2 Kings cover more than 400 years of Israelite history, from the death of David and the ascension of Solomon in the 10th century to the fall of Judah and exile. We also see that Kings would tell the story of the part played by God through his word given by the prophets, in particular, Elijah and Elisha. Elisha was the successor to Elijah. In this interpretation, Elijah is asking that he may be seen as the rightful heir and successor to Elijah. Elijah was appointed as Elijah's successor. The text connects the two men on the occasions of Elijah's appointment. He is plowing with 12 yokes of oxen. That number reminds the reader of the 12 stones that Elijah set up at Mount Carmel, Kings 19, 19 through 21, 18, 31 through 32, as well as the connection to the 12 tribes. Elijah is described as performing twice as many miracles as Elijah. Elisha means God is salvation, and that was his calling. Not so much to point out who the true God was, but to show that God was alive and well and was able to save. Elisha requested double portions of Elijah's spirit. Elisha could have decided to ask for a double portion because he believed, in a spiritual sense, that he was like the oldest son of Elijah. This may have been the reason he thought that he ought to ask for a double portion. But when we ask for something, usually we have to believe the reason for our asking is justifiable. Elijah casted his man Elisha. This was an investiture with the prophetic office, an appointment, a mantle being by some eminent priest thrown across his shoulder. When Elijah ascended, he leaves the cloak behind. Elijah takes the item of clothing and invokes the God of Elijah, striking the Jordan and splitting it into two. That's 2 Kings 2, 13 and 14. When comparing Elijah and Elisha, personality-wise, Elijah seems to have been a man of moods, experiencing great emotional swings between euphoria and depression. The physical appearance, Elijah was a hairy man. That's 2 Kings 1 and 8, while Elijah was bald, 2 Kings 2, 23. Some of their differences are more central to their ministries. And the differences between Elijah and Elisha, in every respect, Elisha presents the more complete contrast to Elijah. Elijah was a child of the desert. If he entered a city, it is only to deliver his message of fire and be gone. Elisha, on the other hand, is a civilized man, an inhabitant of cities. Elijah was a solitary figure like John the Baptist. His life was largely spent in an unveiling struggle with evils of the times, and he had his periods of great depression. Not so with Elijah. His gift of a double portion of the Spirit enabled him to lead a triumph life as he mingled with fellow men. There is no record that he ever complained of his lot, fled from his enemies, or lost his courage. Even on his deathbed, he seemed full of power and gave commands to a king. Elisha performed twice as many miracles as his predecessor, Elijah. Elijah performed 16, and Elisha performed 31, plus one of which was of the dead man thrown in the cave where he was buried and then came back to life. Let's look at the text. So here we are, 2 Kings 4, chapter 4. Elijah receives a double portion of the Spirit. That's 2 and 9. He divides the Jordan. That's 2:14. He heals the water. That's 2:19 through 22. Curses mocking children. That's 2:23 and 24. Obtains water for the army. 3:15 through 20. And now he comes to the widow woman, whose husband was one of the sons of the prophets. Elijah readily receives a poor widow's complaint. She was a prophet's widow. To whom, therefore, should she apply? But to him who was a father to the sons of the prophet, which he should have been concerned with the welfare of their families. It seems the prophets have had wives as well as the priests. Though prophecy went not by entail, as the priesthood did, marriage is honorable in all and not inconsistent with the most sacred professions. Now, by the complaint of this poor woman, 2 Kings 4 and 1, we are given to understand that her husband, being one of the sons of the prophets, was well known to Elijah. Here's a woman whose husband died, which her husband was one of the sons of the prophets, so she goes to Elijah, and I'm paraphrasing, and she says, hey, I'm desperate. My creditors are on my back and going to take my sons to be slaves to pay my debt. The prophet responds with this question, what's in your house? The woman almost responded with nothing, but she finished it with saying, I just have a pot of oil. The prophet gives instructions, go borrow vessels to pour what's already in your house, pour the oil. The prophet tells the woman to shut the door and pour the oil. Sometimes you have to shut the door, go in your secret place to allow the Lord to pour on you. The point after the woman had done all the man of God had instructed, now go sell the oil and pay your debt, and then live, you and your sons, on the rest. God's provision was as large as their faith and willingness to obey. So I ask you, what is the reappraising the values of your assets? In the stock market, you anticipate a return. If there is not a return, you sell the stock. Have the values of your assets increased? Have your services in the Lord paid dividends, a sum of money paid regularly, typically quarterly, by a company to its shareholders out of its profits or reserves? Application of the word on today, and we're coming to a conclusion. Time to take a reappraisal of the value of your assets, whether it's your home, physical body, mentally, your mind, and spirit. Have you put your time in? Do you see a return? It's time to receive a double portion of the Spirit to reap a harvest. It's time to reevaluate and reassess what's in us that we have put on the shelf. Everyone listening to Blog On this morning, take a mental exam of what's in your house and take an inventory on just what's in your house, those assets. We're going to take inventories in two areas, our physical house and our spiritual house. Our house is where we dwell. It's the structure that holds our belongings. It's a place of shelter, our habitation. It keeps us safe at night, warm in the winter and cool in the summer. It's a place of value. It's a place where we take pride in. We dress it up with nice furniture. We invite people over and cook and entertain them. The bigger our families mean the bigger the house we live in. But this house doesn't necessarily have to be a physical house, but it can also be an apartment, which you also call home. It's also a place we discover and develop ourselves. It's a place where we try things on for the first time before we go out into the public. It's also a place where we pray. That's our special or hidden place where we meet God. We go in the hidden place to seek directions and guidance. It's a place where we grow and develop, where we nurture ourselves. But it's also a place where we create and develop those undiscoverable talents, those assets. It's also here where we have lost stuff, things, and many resources of wealth because we have gotten distracted. We have laid them down to get to it on another day. Put it on the list of get to it, but not today. Not today becomes days, months, years, and finally, it has been forgotten altogether. Then there's also the fact we just don't know the value of our homes because we have not reappraised the value. So reappraise the value of your home. There is money to be found. This morning on the blog, we ask again, what's in your house? What resources have you buried, laid aside to get to it list? Today is the time for a reappraising of your assets to anticipate a return. It's reaping time, people of God. It's time to get it. It's over. The time to get to it is over. God is waiting for you to get to it. If you are unsure of your asset, pray and ask God. Matthew 7, 7 and 8, the King James Version said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, it, receive it. He that seeketh, find it. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Ephesians 3 and 20, King James Version said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Revisit that what God has given you, those things that you have not completed. There are riches in your house, gifts and talents laying dormant, an untapped resource, visions and plans. People need to see God's strength in us. People need to see the blessings of God on our lives. Wealth is stored up for us, the righteous, that we may bless someone else. Psalms 112 and 3 says, wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Proverbs 13 and 22 says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. We need to pull out items we have forgotten about and go sell them. God has made provision. We must go and revisit what's in our house. We are created with extraordinary talents, gifts, and abilities. Once we allow God to give the increase, we can be abundantly blessed and bless others. Proverbs 10 and 22, the blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. If you do not know the value of your assets, then ask God, and he will reveal them to you. Matthew 5 and 6, King James Version said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. People are being killed every day. We have been hit with a worldwide pandemic. COVID-19 has shined light on white supremacy and injustice that plagues society. We have a resource in that we are believers and God is on our side. Just as Elijah told the widow woman, what's in your house? We must access those resources to be a blessing to this dying world. God bless you. Let us pray. God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly before your throne of grace. Lord God, before we ask you for anything, we just want to take time to thank you for everything. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. You are truly the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the Everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace. And we thank you, Lord God. You are majestic, Lord God. And we love and adore you on this morning, Lord God. Lord God, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you've already done, Lord God. And we thank you for what you're going to do. Now, Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, to help us to reappraise the values of our assets to anticipate a return. Help us to know what is in our house, our natural house and our spiritual house. Help us to utilize the resources that is right before our eyes. Clear our minds so that we can begin to reap the harvest. God, do it for your glory, God. God, we thank you for Dr. Karen's lesson on today. Look on her, Lord God. Bless her as she delivers her message on tomorrow. Let her say something that blesses your people. Look on the sick and afflicted, Lord God. Look on Sister Linda today, Lord. You made her and you know all about her. Lord God, we actually look on the Parks, God, and comfort their hearts, Lord God. Look on the bereaved families everywhere. God, then look on our leaders. Bless them one by one, name on name, Lord God. Lord God, touch them from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet. Lord God, we ask you to look on the MSU unit, Lord God, and touch the doctors to give the proper diagnosis, God. Look on every listener on today. Do for them that only you can do, God. And then, Lord God, we just ask you to look on those that are struggling in their minds. Lord God, we ask you to help them to keep it together because you said in your word that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Lord God, we ask you to allow them to keep their mind stayed on you. God, get your glory. Get your glory, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers. Tune in next week when your host, Dr. Maria Carey, who is the CEO, will be returning. Same time. And remember, if something was said that encouraged your heart, let Dr. Carey know by text or email. Text her 309-750-7584. Or drop her an email at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital AAZENGRACEMINISTRIES@gmail.com. She would love to hear from you. Wear your mask, wash your hands often, and don't forget to social distancing yourself. Until next time, enjoy the remainder of your day and be blessed.